Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator. You're with us on The Caring Generation, the only program of its kind caring to make your life easier by tackling uncomfortable and intimidating discussions about aging, caregiving, and everything in between. Through my company, The Care Navigator, I meet with individuals and families seeking to plan for care needs today or in the future, whether it's an unexpected change in health, a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, or just aging. I help those with loved ones at home, in care communities, nursing homes, or in the hospital, needing to make plans for home care, to plan for moving to care communities, or monitoring daily care needs. If you need care or are in a caregiving situation, not sure what to do, not sure what options are available, call me and I'll help you sort through the issues. Dr. Brian Kolb is principal investigator in behavioral neurosciences at the University of Lethbridge, Canadian Center for Behavioral Neurosciences. He's former president of the Canadian Society for Brain, Behavior, and Cognitive Science and former president of the Experimental Division of the Canadian Psychological Association. Dr. Kolb is currently a theme leader in the Canadian Stroke Network and a member of the Canadian Institute for Advanced Research's program on experience-based brain development. He's well-published and author of 5 books and over 300 articles and chapters. Dr. Kolb, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
I read some of your research, which made me think that we really do take our brain for granted and maybe don't take care of it as well as we should. Can we start talking about our youth and the times when we're exposed to alcohol and drugs, and is there a long-term effect on our brains?
Well, there's a long-term effect of some drugs, probably not all drugs, but certainly after, if you take psychomotor stimulants, and by that I mean amphetamine or methamphetamine or cocaine, for example, or nicotine, more than 3 or 4 occasions, there's going to be a footprint of that drug left in the brain, probably forever. And the more times you take the drug, the bigger that footprint is. So the brain, the structure of circuits in the brain is actually changed by the taking of these drugs. When you take the drugs early in life, the effects are somewhat different than they are later in life. And one of the most profound times probably is during adolescence.
Mm. We talk a lot about aging and caregiving on this program, and so many older adults become isolated. They stay in their dark apartments, the curtains are closed, and they become physically inactive. Based on your research, what's the effect of that on the brain?
Well, it's a use-it-or-lose-it sort of proposition. So if you're in the situation you just described, where people are really withdrawn from the world, it's a lose-it proposition because they're not using their brain. And so what you're going to have is progressive memory loss, progressive loss of a lot of cognitive functions under those circumstances.
And in your article, there was also some mention of just peer relationship, friendship, social relationships. How does that interaction with others help our brain?
Well, if you think about social interactions, they're complicated. So you have to read people's minds, if you like. You're looking at their facial expressions. You're interacting with them. You're trying to guess what they're going to say and think and whatnot. So these are complex processes that we engage in. And so one of the real things with social interaction is to actually have your brain operating and engaged in the conversations, which are not there if you're not interacting with people.
And watching television doesn't do it, does it?
Watching television doesn't do it because you're not actually trying to do much. You're just sort of passive.
Listening.
You have to be actively engaged.
So if I can relate living in a darker, dreary environment, somebody who's physically inactive and they're isolated, so no social contact, could it be said that an older adult living in that type of situation is more likely to experience, you know, memory loss, cognitive declines?
Absolutely, yes.
And earlier in our program, I had a story about a gentleman who was a boxer, and we played some clips from Muhammad Ali. And head trauma and concussions, I think, with athletes are especially serious. What does that trauma do to the brain that either results in diseases or makes us just forgetful?
What the head trauma does, concussion does, is it's turning on a series of processes where proteins become abnormal, proteins in the brain, and they produce something called tau proteins. And what happens is that as more and more of this happens, starts to interfere with normal operation of the brain. In addition, it enhances the development of things that are called plaques and tangles, which is common in Alzheimer's, and that's where the problem is. So it's the unfolding of this cascade of events that occurs after the brain is injured.
And how much injury is needed? I mean, if I hit my head once, am I likely to have it, or would I need, like, multiple accidents?
Certainly, if you hit your head once and it's a brief concussion, you'll have a post-concussion syndrome that may last a few months or a year, but that's not likely to have any long-term consequences. It's the repeated concussions that starts causing the problem. And that is, of course, a problem in football, hockey, and whatnot, because the heads are being banged again and again and again.
And I know that strokes and even sometimes heart surgeries can result in some short-term memory loss. Are those really just considered temporary, where it's just like a one-time thing and that memory loss may never occur again later in life, or does that really affect later years?
It depends on where the injury is. So strokes in certain parts of the brain, you may have a disruption that's temporary because the brain is essentially annoyed at having had this injury, and it slowly recovers. But other locations, you can have a permanent memory loss, whether it's short-term or long-term. So it really depends on exactly where that injury is and how severe it is.
And earlier we were talking about incidents of, like, vascular dementia from people that, you know, smoke and have vascular issues. How common are vascular issues in the brain?
Oh, they're very common. We believe that one of the major causes of Alzheimer's is a prolonged exposure to marginally high blood pressure. So people whose blood pressure is, say, 140 over 90, something like that, they don't think it's a big deal. And it isn't on any given day, but when it's like that for years and years and years, you start having little bleeds. And we think that these little bleeds start to accumulate. They're turning on the production of this tau protein. And what you end up with is dementia. So it's really important that blood pressure be controlled over the long haul, and a lot of people just don't see that as important.
Mm, that's good to know. So how do we keep our brains healthy? Is it like memory activity and puzzles and things like that, or what do you suggest?
Well, the data that are most compelling speak to exercise. So what exercise is doing is it's improving the blood flow into the brain, and the brain operates on blood, obviously. So exercise is number one. Not disengaging, that is, not being in a condition that you described earlier where you're withdrawn, so actually actively using the brain. There is controversy over whether or not doing crossword puzzles and that sort of thing actually enhances things. I think what it does is it prevents deterioration. But the evidence that it actually will enhance brain function isn't very good. It's exercise that will do that.
Okay. Are there any websites or resources that you can provide?
I can't give it to you off the top of my head. There's one that would be useful is the Canadian Stroke Network website.
Beautiful. I'll look that up and I'll put it on our website. Dr. Kolbe, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Have a great rest of your day.
Okay. Bye-bye.